Well, one of the things that is really an interesting part of artificial intelligence is what happens if you copy the human mind or upload a mind into a computer? Does it actually have human rights, for instance? Would it perform the same as a human? And what sort of an existence would it have?
And would it have consciousness?
And that is one of the big questions, one of the big debates between weak and strong AI claims. If a computer had an absolute duplicate of your mind in it,
yes,
and it functioned exactly the same as your mind does,
yes,
then we'd have to conclude it's doing the same thing, and it should feel and act as you do. It, after all, have all of your memories and experiences in it. Now,
well, that's going to be the line, isn't it, Sir Charles?
Going to be the line right there. And there's an interesting story that I was told, and it illustrates very clearly the dividing line, or how fuzzy the line is, I should say, and it's called the boat analogy. You know, if you loan a man a boat, let's say, and he has your boat, and let's say he replaces a board in the boat, and he's got it, a couple of years. And over the time, he's replaced away the old parts, the bad parts, until in the end he discovers the whole boat has been replaced.
Right.
And then you call him and say, hey, I want my boat back, and he brings it to you. Well, has he actually returned your boat or not?
Okay, it's a good point.
And the same is true for your mind. Suppose you had the ability to replace damaged neural tissue with, let's say, artificial neurons. Let's say nanotechnology makes new neurons for you. And so over time, you allow the neurons in your brain to be replaced one by one with these nanoneurons.
Is that you?
Is it you?
Mm-hmm.
It certainly, you would feel the same, and you would act the same, and you'd have all the same memories. Is it really you? And it's a question that you really cannot answer.
Well, Sir Charles, excuse me, if we get a computer capable of accepting the contents of a human mind, what is your best guess about how whole the transfer will be? In other words, will that now machine understand who it is in every way and understand now it's inside something else?
I would have to say yes.
Yes?
If the model is faithful to your brain, then yes, it would have to.
Ooh, yikes.
And for the experience itself, the person who had himself, let's say, scanned,
yes,
would either get up from the scanner and walk away, or he would discover that he was no longer sitting in the scanner, he was somewhere else. And in that case, he'd know he wasn't the original. He was somewhere in a virtual world, and his experiences would begin from there.
But there's a paradox, isn't there? I may be getting way ahead here, but I mean, if every bit of consciousness is transferred, then you have one person in two places at the same time. That's a paradox.
Well, you have two different people who are exact copies of each other, one in the computer and one in the real world.
Is the consciousness then shared?
The consciousness would be independent in each case.
From that moment
on? It would be two separate people from that moment on, because at that point they would each share different experiences, although they have the same common memories up to that point of scanning.
And so you're sure that in something that identical there would not be a quantum connection that would go way beyond what we can imagine right now?
You know, that's a very good question.
Yes,
nobody really knows the answer to that at this point. I suspect there will not be, but only a direct experiment could answer that question.
How far might we be from that direct experiment?
Well, to give you an example, a few years back they were doing some research in capturing the model of simple organisms, and they decided to pick the simplest organism with a well-developed neural system of its own. And the whole organism was a little nematode, like a little worm, and it was about a little over 900 cells in its entire body.
Right.
And its neurons totaled only a little over 300. And they carefully modeled the entire neural system of this little nematode and got a copy of it in the computer so that the computer model would act as the nematode does. In other words, from the computer's model standpoint, it was the nematode. Now, that's a very humble beginning.
It is.
To model the nervous system of a tiny worm-like organism. But you know that it only gets better, higher resolution, and more complexity
all
over
right.
time.
Let me ask a practical question.
Okay.
Do we have any idea at all how much storage capacity we would have to store a human mind?
Well, estimates say there are only about 600 megabytes of data in the human mind.
What?
There's only about 600 megabytes of data stored. And that sounds paradoxical, but I can explain why we don't have a huge amount of storage in our heads. We store things in a manner that can often be described as symbolic. When you look at a person's face and then turn away,
yes,
you remember how well they look well enough to sketch their whole face? Typically, no. We generally work on an approximation. We don't store the exact snapshot, usually. And if we do, over time it tends to fade away. Only people with very interesting types of memory have the ability to photographically memorize objects or items or situations. And in most cases, people have very lousy memory. They only take a rough approximation and run with it. And over time, it gets worse. So the total sum experience of your life is reduced to representations, symbolics.
Man, I'm still stuck on 600 megabytes. That's pretty slim stuff for a human brain.
Well, it seems that way, and consider how many billions, you know, hundreds of billions of neurons there are. And the interconnections are the most important thing, not the number of neurons, but the way they're interconnected.
Yes.
The connections themselves act as your storage medium. And the interesting thing is, most of the brain is not storage, it's processing hardware. It's the units that perform the processing on your senses to convert it to a form you understand.
Right.
It's the units that perform the interpolation to generate your picture of the world. And it's the units that perform the various jobs for understanding and processing language and all the other things around you. So most of the hardware is processing hardware, not memory hardware.
All right.
But what gets processed, what gets programmed in the processing hardware is how you process,
all right,
how
well,
you think about
it. Okay, well, we're making great advances in processing speed right now.
Right.
And certainly we've got storage that makes 600 megabytes look like nothing at all.
That's correct.
So put the two together, and I guess the question is, how far might we be from being able to actually upload a human mind to a machine?
In terms of data storage, we could probably do it now. The difficulty is getting the data in the machine, but the most important part is, how is it stored? You see, the most crucial part of human intelligence, or any intelligence as that matter goes, is its representation. We both can agree when we look at something that it's red, for instance. But there's no consensus, you know, about whether or not internally we feel the same thing when we see red. That
right.
We sense the same thing. It could be entirely different.
Well, I'm wondering, if we did upload a human mind,
right,
would we end up with just a snapshot of that instant of that human mind, or would we actually end up with that human mind, a thinking, aware?
Okay. You can look at it from both standpoints. If you take just the information and it is simply stored, then you have a snapshot. But if you've also modeled the processing sections of the brain, and they are active and capable of operating,
oh,
and you apply the information you stored, now you have a working mind.